We've been talking about five big ideas. The idea of oneness, a spiritual truth that we live into reality. Uniqueness, equal in value, ordained with distinction. And one of the great distinctives is that we are called to lead and be gentle and powerful at the same time. Redemption, restoring what is broken. Intimacy, cultivating closeness between souls. And now the idea of adventure. Adventure, a unifying direction for our family. All right? Our family is unified and brought together under a particular direction that we would call adventure. Let me give you some background as we unpack this idea. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion or a helper for him who corresponds to him." An ezer is the Hebrew word for helper. It means that one who brings strength and life. But here's what we know is that man's already been working. He's already had direction. He's already had responsibility and authority. And she is one who is created to come alongside that. It doesn't diminish her in any way. It's just part of the role that she plays. But it is clearly not egalitarian. It is what we call complementarian. Because remember, value is the same. Roles and responsibilities are different. The value of the members of the Trinity is the same, but they do play some different roles. All right, and so it can be possible to do this in a marriage also. And she is one who brings strength, who gives strength. 1 Corinthians 11:7. "For a man should not have his head covered, since he is in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for the sake of woman, but woman for man." Which fits perfectly into the idea from Genesis, is that she's the one who comes alongside to bring strength. And here's, most people will look at me and go, "Oh, Matt's, you know, got some leadership things and some visionary things." Actually, I have almost no visionary gifts. Not at all. There's so much vision already out there. All I do is take what other people have and execute it. My wife is far more the visionary in our relationship. And so all our great ideas that I get credit for are hers. And so I was headed into business out of college. She said, "Maybe we should give ministry a shot." I'm like, "That's ridiculous." Okay? I'm like, "Well, 5 years we'll go to seminary." She's like, "Well, maybe now would be a better time before we have our family. Maybe this is a good time to go." I'm like, "That's ridiculous." That's what we did, though. Over time, I saw, "Well, that's okay, man, that's a good idea." The first time she ever mentioned planting a church, I thought, "No, that's ridiculous." I mean, just she's had so many ridiculous ideas that actually shaped and formed our lives and have become huge blessings. All right, so we're not, this is not man has all these out front making all the decisions. It's that they're together, they're on an adventure, but she is bringing life and strength through whatever her gifts are, talents, abilities, all right? So, but here's what we know from Genesis, 1 Corinthians, is that man is put really in the center of movement for this home and for this couple. Is that he is in the center of what God is doing. And she is brought alongside that to help facilitate that movement. So that's why I tell young guys who are single, they're like, "What should I be doing to get married?" I said, "You should be becoming and moving in the direction that God wants you to move. You are sitting still waiting to find a woman so that you can go move. What you need to do is move so that she can see you. You need to be headed in a direction so that she knows what she's getting in for." Because what happens is you're sitting still, y'all find each other, she doesn't really know who you are because she hasn't seen you move. You need to be moving in the direction that God wants you to go so that she sees what she's signing up for. She's like, "Oh, that's what his life's about. I don't want that. But here, over here, I see this is what his life's about. I do want that." She can see what she's getting in for. All right, and then when you do that, if you say, "Well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? Okay, this is what we're going to go do." Then you get 15 years down the road and you're like, "I mean, I'm not really that happy. I mean, I've always wanted to be doing that over there." Well, you weren't doing that when y'all met. You created a new vision and direction that you weren't really happy with. Once y'all met, you should have already been moving before you ever met. Because women instinctively want to be a part of something, which is why we said earlier in the notes, we gave the little core matrix, that his core responsibility is leadership. Her core responsibility is partnership. She wants to be a part of something. And I watch guys all the time, unmarried guys and married guys, try to figure out what women want and then go be that, rather than just being what God's created them to be so she can see clearly. And so women want to be a part of something. This is something that we learned from women, that they were telling us this. And so when you look around, you see it. So you go to a NASCAR race. You're like, there's 50,000 women here. Is it because there's 50,000 women who like to sit out in the hot sun in July and watch cars run around in circles? Or is it, surely there are some, but for the most part, those women are there because they are there with a man. And whether you think that's a great adventure or not, or a great opportunity, they're at least getting to be a part of something with their man. It's why a woman will let her husband make this huge life change during his midlife crisis. As he begins to redefine success, move in a different direction, and she's so excited because he's excited about something, and they're going to get to be a part of something together. It's why this couple sells everything and goes on the mission field, because this is now part of their adventure. Or he changes jobs, and it's actually downscaling in his job and going in a new direction, but at least she's getting to be a part of something, and they feel like they're doing it together. It's why a lot of women get wrapped up in their friends when they turn 50, and their friends are all they care about, and they're not connected to their husbands anymore, because there's no unifying direction that overarches their family and leads their family. It's why I watch a young couple, 30 years old, he's in a comfortable job, where he's the man and everything's going great, great salary, great, everything's just perfect. And he just feels restless, about 30 years old, and wants to jump out and start his own business. And they're not going to have insurance, and they're going to get pregnant the next year. And his wife is completely fine with that, because they're moving out. This is now part of their story, part of their adventure. They're moving in that direction. Here's what I'm saying again. We learn some of these thoughts by talking to women. They're the ones telling us. They're like, we will be a part of anything. Just give us something to be a part of, to join into. And here's what I think. This starts with the man. A man has to be able to look in his heart and see what is there and discern what is there. We'll look at a story of Jonathan and his armor bearer real quick. 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan is Saul the king's son. Jonathan is best friends with David. Jonathan could be bitter because he's not going to be king because his best friend's going to be king. He's going to take over after his dad. His dad's going to have a tragic ending. But this is Jonathan. This is the heart of who he is. Then one day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the Philistine garrison that is opposite us. But he didn't let his father know. And so God is in the middle of rooting out the Philistines, and he's with the Israelites. And he says, look, that's what God's doing. They are uncircumcised. God is rooting them out. He's using us to do it. This is the overarching plan of what God is doing. So he's aware of what God is doing, and he's stirred by it. Verse 6, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines. In other words, God's not with them. Perhaps the Lord will intervene for us. We don't know, but perhaps he will. Nothing can prevent the Lord from delivering, whether by many or by few. He goes, let's take a chance. He goes, this is what God is doing. The overarching movement is God is using us to move them out. They are pagan, they are heathen. And this is what God is doing. And let's join God in what he's doing. Because he can do anything. And this is an opportunity for us. He goes, and I don't know how it's going to end, but let's give it a shot. Verse 7, the armor bearer said to him, this is one of my favorite lines, do everything that is in your heart. Which means that Jonathan has to know what's in his heart. Do you know if you sit down with the average man in our church, in our culture, in this city, and you say, what's in your heart? They have no idea. They have nothing to say. They can't come up with five things that's going on in their heart. The average man just doesn't even know how to talk about it, speak about it. He goes, do everything that is in your heart. Do as you're inclined, and I'm with you all the way. What are the desires of your heart? What's going on inside of you, Jonathan? What do you really want to do? And whatever that is, I'm with you. Now, it's one thing to go through a season of confusion and disconnection. But we have a culture that's living in constant confusion about what's going on in our hearts. And for a lot of our men, we're just numb on the inside. We've been numb for a long time. And so when we look down inside and go, what's going on there? We don't actually know. And so there's a difference between being a season of confusion, which we've all been, and then a lifestyle of where we are confused, don't know what's going on. We're either numb on the inside or we're so scared we don't want to move. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should do this. You see it in all the major transitions of life. And we're not just talking about transitions. We're talking about all aspects of life. But you see it in the major transitions. The first date. When a man gets this girl in the car and he looks at her and he says, "Where do you want to eat?" I mean, really? We've invited her on a date and now we're asking her where she wants to go eat? I mean, how directionless can we be? How afraid? We're not really inviting her to anything. We're positioning her to take herself on a date. We haven't planned anything to be able to say, what would you like to do? Well, that's not really helping her see who I am. So what I need to do is I need to plan. This is who I am. This reflects what we're getting ready to do, reflects what I think and what I value. And once we've done this, you'll be able to see this is what I'm all about. This is what I think. This is what I value. This is what it is for me. Or the 25-year-old who has no direction. The words that he uses all the time. What are you doing today? Hanging out. I am a hanger-outer. I am a professional hanger-outer. Where are you going now? To hang out. When you get done with that, what are we going to do? We're going to hang out some more. Now, I do have some skills. You should see me on the Wii. I could drill the Xbox. I'm like, but what are you doing? Well, I got to work out tomorrow. I'm going to be the strongest person, best looking person who plays Wii that you have ever seen. The 32-year-old who needs to make a shift in life. He's in a company. He can't go any higher because his boss is not ready to retire. And so he's either got to jump to another company, make a lateral move so he can go up, or he's got to start his own business. And you see him terrified about that. The 45-year-old who's done everything he set out to do, and now he looks back and goes, well, I've given all this to the company for 20 years, and now here I am. I really don't feel that fulfilled. My kids are growing up. I mean, I put all my eggs in the basket of success, and it was a wrong definition, so now I got to redefine all that. And I got to figure out who I am, because my work was an idol. I wrapped my heart around that idol. That idol didn't pay off, and so now I'm disillusioned by work. So now I got to figure out what real success means. Or the couple who's 60 years old who says, okay, so I guess life is over. I mean, we got some grandkids hanging around, but I mean, is this the end for us, or is this the most productive time of our life because we have free time and we have resources and we're ready to give that away? I mean, all of that means that you got to know what's going on. You can't be numb and you can't be scared and you can't be terrified to fail. You got to be willing to know what's in your heart and go take some risk. 1 Samuel 14, verse 13. Jonathan crawled up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer falling behind him. Jonathan struck down the Philistines while his armor bearer came up behind him and killed them. In this initial skirmish, Jonathan and the armor bearer struck down about 20 men in an area that measured half an acre. That's what I'm talking about. It wasn't like we dropped bombs in from a long ways away. I mean, two killed 20 in an area the size of this room. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Is there risk in it? Absolutely. But here's the thing, there is something inherent to masculinity that says, I'm leaving here and I'm going over there and I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. How's it going to go? I don't know. And I have men sit with me and say, I'd really like to get married, but here's what they want. They want a guarantee that marriage is going to work. I'm like, that marriage is going to work because you make it work when you get there. Or I'm going to start this company. And I'm not sure, you're right, we don't know if that's going to work. But there's something inherent about masculinity that has to move out from where he is to another place without the assurance that it's going to work. And here's the thing, sometimes it is not going to work. Sometimes we are going to fail. And even that is part of it. And I've seen couples take a step out and go someplace where they didn't know it was going to work, and it does work, and God brings them together, and it's a powerful blessing. And I've seen other couples go out, and it fail, and God uses that to bring them together in ways that they would not trade. And I'm really thankful to a handful of men who called me out of fear and said, it's okay. Where you need to cast forward an adventure and move in a way that is terrifying to you, and it's uncomfortable for you, and it's okay, the fact that you don't trust God. All that's happened here is that this situation has exposed the fact that you don't trust God. When you stayed in your comfort zone, okay, when you played it safe, you just lived with the illusion that you trusted God. But when you began to step forward and start doing things for him and start moving in a direction that has some adventure to it that you can invite a woman to be a part of, well, Now you've been exposed to someone who knows how to say that you trust God, but you really don't, and that is okay. So the times when your hands are shaking, that's part of it. The nights when you lay in the bed and you look at the ceiling because you can't sleep because you're terrified, that is part of it. When you feel alone and you feel desperate, that is part of it. And that is part of what God wants for us. And so here's some practical questions you have to ask yourself. What is it that I'm about? Well, I'm about making money. That one's going to run out on you. Because even if you can hang on to your money can't hang on to you, you'll be dead and you'll leave it for someone else and your kids are going to squander it on stupid stuff that you'd never spend your money on. Okay? So, what am I about? What is my life about? What is most important to me? You need to ask and answer that question. Through the numbness, through the fear, what is most important to me? What do I bring here? What do I bring to this? What do I take away? What do I leave here? Here's one. I mean, this is so cliche, but for real though, I know some people who are living it. What if I had 6 months to live? Is what I'm doing right now have enough value to it that I just keep doing that if I only had 6 months? Or what if I had $1 million? What if I had $1 million and I had to wake up tomorrow? What would I go do? You go, well, I mean, I don't, but here's the thing. Some of those things can help reveal what's really going on in our hearts, all right, what our lives need to be about. You're going to say, this is about quitting your job. No, we'll get to that. We just need to be thinking about what adventure looks like for us. So let me give you a tool, the idea of adventure. This is what you see Jonathan do. This overarching thing of what is God doing in the world? What's God doing? What's he about? What's he on mission? Okay? And it's so much. The gospel is moving through our culture in so many different ways, so many facets. What is God doing? Okay? What are my talents, my gifts, my desires? What do I want? How am I created? How am I wired up? Okay? So when that crosses with opportunities, what are the, well, they're the Philistines over there. I'm a fighter. There's Philistines. God's rooting people out. Where they all cross over, let's go get them. We're going to win. We're not guaranteed we're going to win, but here we go. This is the kind of conversation that a man needs to have with his wife. It's not just about you as a man, but about y'all as a couple. It does relate to you as a man, as individually. It does relate to her as a woman individually, but it also relates to you as a couple individually, and I think relates to you as a family individually. So I have this discussion with me, myself and I, and then she has this discussion, and we have this discussion about her, and then we have this discussion about us as a couple, and then about us as a family. I have teenagers. Okay, here's the thing with me on teenagers. The goal is not to not have bad teenagers. The goal is to have some children and some students who are on mission, who are becoming aware of what God is doing in the world, who see their gifts and talents and desires and see the opportunities that God has put in front of them, which there's no shortage of that. Then you overlay this idea with these ideas. What does this mean for your marriage? What does it mean for your marriage? Why were you put together? Because see, I wouldn't do what I do, and I get a lot of, you know, pat on the back for being preacher guy, but I wouldn't do what I do if I wasn't married to the person that I'm married to. She's the one who straightens out a lot of my mess and just says, hey, you need to think about this. And she puts me in a position to be able to do this. And so here's the thing. Sometimes a date night for us is doing ministry together. And there's lots of nights I'm thinking, I don't want to do any more speaking, talking, counseling, resourcing, whatever that is. But together, it just works for us. And so we go do it. And so last week, date night, that's what we spent, working with some college students. That's part of our adventure. That's part of who we are, which is outside of, you know, my job at this church. Okay? Then the idea of family, to lay this over family. Why are we together as a family? We're not just here to not have bad kids. We're not here just to survive, but we're here to thrive and be on mission for what has God gifted our family to do? What are the opportunities in front of us? What can we accomplish? What can we do? What's the adventure for us as a family? What's the adventure for a man, for a woman, for a couple, and for a family? To lay this over my work. A lot of us have a lot of ministry to do through our work that we're not doing. That's part of the adventure for us, but we're just leaving it lay. For some of you, you're like, there's no ministry that can really be done in my work. It's a way that I make money to fund the adventure. Then that's fine. Some of us need to take lesser jobs. Your job pays you more than what you need. It makes you travel too much. It's too stressful. If you were to back off of that and you go, well, if you just walk in and say to your wife, well, I'm quitting my job, I'm going to take another job. Seems arbitrary. But if you were to say, this is the adventure that our family is on. These are the things that we want to accomplish over the next 10 years as a family. This job means we can't do that, but this job means we can do that. So then, as a family, we're seeing that this is our adventure, and to accomplish this adventure, this is why we're going to change jobs. Well, then, that makes sense now, doesn't it? Or when we say, these are the kinds of things we want our children doing. That's going to cost us something. That's going to be a sacrifice. We want them to see this and experience this. Was that just arbitrary? Or is this is the adventure our family's on. And for us to accomplish this and be a part of this, our kids have to be drawn into this in this way. So that's why we're making these kinds of sacrifices. That's why we're putting this kind of responsibility on them. And then there's this ministry component. What kind of ministry can we accomplish? We have some folks who are thinking about, you know, they're going to work a few more years. They're going to retire so they can go work in an inner city camp, right? When my wife and I are together, outside of my role as at Grace Church and teaching and all that, we wind up doing counseling together, speaking together, and resourcing people together. That's just what we do. It's a ministry that we do together. Let me give you some actions that you can take. We've got some questions listed there, some group discussion questions, but above that we have questions that you can discuss with your wife. These are just catalytic things that you can sit down and talk about. Because the question is, what does the next 5 years look like? Where do we want life to be in 20 years? And if everything ended right now, would we feel good about that, fulfilled? Or is there something that needs to change? What kind of adventure should we be on as a husband, as a wife, as a family? And so there are things that I'm asking about. I mean, am I happy with where I'm headed right now? And so recently I told my wife, I was like, we got all these things going on with our children. I said, I'll tell you what, I don't want anything else added to the plates of our children until you get signed up to take guitar lessons. And she plays guitar, she sings, but she's given the last decade of her life to take care. I said, how much longer are we going to wait before we continue to develop some of the gifts that you have? You have a contribution, and she makes contributions in all kinds of ways. I said, but you have these. I mean, I have no musical gifts whatsoever, so I'm enamored with that. I'm like, but the next thing that gets added to our budget and gets added to our plate is that you are taking guitar lessons somewhere. Okay, that's an important part of our adventure. For me, it is, and will be for her too, and it is for her, all right? So we're asking some of those questions about us individually, us as a couple, us as a family. What do we want it to look like in 10 years? 5 years, 25 years, where does all this end? What vision do we have for our children? Where does it all end up? Let me give you some actions. How do we accomplish this? Here's how I do it. I go get with men who are ahead of me. I go sit down with men who are ahead of me and say, what do you see? If you could come back to where I am, what would you do differently? What does it feel like to be where you are? What's happened in the last 10 years that's been great, that's not been great? If you could rewind the clock, what would happen? I get with men, not just who are ahead of me, but get with men who are very different than I am. Because we kind of like attracts like, and we get with the same kind of people. Some guys who see the world in a more creative way, in a more artistic way than I normally see it. Guys who are coming from other parts of the country with different backgrounds than what I have. Guys who are working completely different fields than I work in. The way they see the world. It's fascinating. Find some guys to dream with. Grab Marcus Buckingham's book, Discover Your Strengths. It's got a little code. You buy the book. It's got a little code in the back. You go online. You take a little test. It gives you some information about your personality, what you value, what you think. Pretty cool. As far as what you can do with your wife, draw her into the discussion. Use some of these questions. Read together. Think together. Dream together. Let her know that you want to move. Let not move physically. Let her know that you want to be on an adventure with her. That there's something that God has for you. There's something that God has for her. There's something that God has for you as a couple. There's something that God has for your whole family. And where you are right now is part of that. But thinking about the future and where we're going, that's part of that. And it'll be a unifying direction. And some of the sacrificial decisions that we have to make, they're not arbitrary. They're a part of that adventure. And they help make us who we are. And then here's what you have to do. And I'm all about that. I'm all about the adventure. I mean, I got some of the other topics we've talked about. Some of those are harder for me. This is one of those that comes easier for me. But here's what I've had to learn, because I can flat out create an adventure. It might destroy us, but I can create one. It's having to look at her, and I didn't realize this till too late in the game. Wish I had realized it sooner. It's to look at her and say, baby, none of this can happen without you. This cannot happen. Yeah, physically, I can stir all this up, but none of this can really happen without you. And here's even more importantly. If it did, it would be meaningless without you. So that's part of the adventure. It's not just to go accomplish something and get somewhere, but it's the process that it unifies us along that way. That we're going to find out what is God doing in the world, and he's doing kabillions of things. That we're going to use how we're wired up, coupled with opportunities and what God is doing, to have an adventure that unifies us, that brings us together. And this is ours. This is our unique thumbprint. This is the thumbprint of our marriage. So we talked about what it means to be passive. We talked about oneness, uniqueness, redemption, intimacy, adventure. Now you have some language to go talk, to think, maybe even to believe differently, to act differently. But here's the last question I'll leave you with. So in Genesis, it said, it's not good for man to be alone. Okay? So now he's not alone. They've been made one. And for many of you, you're married, you've been made one. So here's my question to you. Is it good? If it was not good to be alone, well, now you're not alone. So is it good? A lot of the response, and we got to pray, and we got to seek God, and we got to do our part. We got to call on God to do his part. But there's a part of this that's been given to us where we're responsible to move through our passivity and begin to build a relationship, to be able to foster oneness. That is the goal. So the question is it good? And if it's not, am I willing to step up and take responsibility for what God wants me to do in this relationship and be a gentle, loving, powerful leader for her and for our family? That is now on me, on you, on us. Let's pray. Give thanks. We hope that this video series, A Man and His Wife, has been helpful for you. We know we probably raised some questions that you'd like some answers to, so we want to provide some more resources for you. We have that online at mensroundtable.org. Thank you for watching.